I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. And all my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Anyway, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you all, and I hope you've had a good Christmas so far. We are truly blessed this morning to have Josh Bolt with us. He tried to get, he was booked a year ago, and obviously we didn't even know the circumstances we were going to have the past year then. And I did hear he was going to record his message and then we'd play it, but that didn't work yesterday. So we have got the man here live as it is. So I'm sure that's a lot better. Josh, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
And how has your past year been?
I think a bit up and down, like everybody's actually. Obviously, with all that's gone on and how that's affected church and work and everything. But yeah, we're at the end of the year and I think looking forward to the next year, right?
And Josh, for those of you that don't know, is a he teaches tennis as a profession. So he's a, I don't know if he's a professional tennis player, a teacher or what do you call it? But whatever it is, he does it. And he has a couple of schools, or one now, I think, or two, I don't know. But I think when he does the message, some of it might come out as he tells you about his year. But it's good to have him here with us. And for those that don't know, over the years, Josh has helped us out on numerous occasions when we've got in the muddle to find a minister. And Josh has always filled in for us very well. Anyway, I'm just going to open our time in prayer. So let's just commit this morning and our service to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can meet, as it were, over Zoom. We thank you that you're not restricted in any way, even so, because you're just that prayer away, that you live in us and you intercede for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for him. We thank you that we've been celebrating his birth. And we just ask that we might be ever conscious that we want to be more like him, that we want to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might reflect his love and compassion for people. We do pray for again for our nation. We know that we're going through this pandemic and we do believe we can see the end of it, but it'll give us the patience that's needed and help those who are organising whatever is needed for us. We do thank you that these things are in your hand and that you are ultimately in control and there's nothing we can do except come to you in prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to have the opening hymn. I guess it's one of my favourite hymns. Martin picked the hymns. Oh, I don't know if Martin did or Liz did, but Martin picked the hymns. And the first hymn we're going to sing is Great Is Thy Faithfulness.
As great is thy faithfulness, oh God, my Father, there is no shadow. Forever will.
Well, I guess at the end of a year, which has been quite difficult to read those words, great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not, as thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. You know, Mr. Chisholm, who wrote that hymn, he was 94 when he died, so I don't know quite what age he was when he wrote the hymn, but it obviously was he was a faithful man. God was faithful to him over 94 years. Well, I'm doing the children's talk this morning, and I apologise for that to the children, and they look around and there aren't that many children. But I'm going to do it anyway. I was going to make it a little bit interactive, but I think that might be just me and Rory if we do that. So we probably won't. I'll just do the talk. You know, when over Christmas and up, running up to Christmas, how many of us here parents used to say to your children, if you don't behave, Father Christmas won't come. That he won't be there. And, do you know, every year Father Christmas still came. We used to say it to our children. I was trying to think back to what my parents said to me, and I actually can remember when I was naughty, my mother used to chase me out of the house with a broom. She never actually caught me, but she used to, and I don't think she, I think she probably could have done, but she didn't want to hit me with it. But I can remember being chased out of the house with a broom, and I've got a friend I go on holiday with, and he, when he was doing things wrong, his father would chase him. And he would say, if you don't stop, that'll be worse for you when I catch you. And that was what he used to get when he was naughty. And so I said, everybody's different. But I do think that, I guess, if there are children, do you have a naughty step or a naughty chair nowadays? Is that what people have? Come on, Rory, tell me what you have to do when you're naughty. Or does mum send you to bed or does she send you to...
We have a naughty room.
You have a naughty room, so you've got a really big place to go to. But you don't have to go very often, do you?
It's actually the porch.
The porch?
Yeah, that's our naughty room.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you don't have to go very often, Rory. But did Father Christmas come?
Yes, he gave me and Kate lots of presents.
Well, you couldn't have been too naughty. But I'm going to just play you. You watch television, and I'm sure all the adults have watched this one-minute advert, and I would just tell you that my favourite supermarket in the world is Tesco's because they take an awful lot of eggs from us every day. But this is I'm convinced that Tesco's got this wrong. Well, I watched that I don't know how many times over the Christmas period, and it really has made me think so many times where it says there is no naughty list. And it's not true. It's not, the Tesco's are telling us something that isn't true, children, because there is a naughty list. We've all done things that are wrong. I'm sure, I did try to think of some of the things that children do that are wrong, and my list got longer and longer. So, but I'm sure that some of you, even over Christmas, you have wished you had somebody else's present, or you've had some sweets that are not yours and belong to one of your brothers or sisters. And I'm sure there are things that you have done wrong when your parents have told you, even possibly it's time to go to bed and you say no, and all the other things. These things are naughty. And do you know, we have somebody who watches and sees everything we do. And that is a God. And God really knew that we had this naughty list, but if we want to get to heaven, we couldn't just ignore it. So Tesco's are saying, well, don't worry, there isn't a naughty list, you don't have to worry. But also they're saying, did you see the man who said, well, I donated to Captain Tom? Well, it's sort of saying, well, if you did that, if you did a little bit of charity and did something which is good, that'll make all the naughty things right. Well, that isn't true either, because you can't make something which is wrong right by doing something else. It doesn't work like that. And the only thing that we can do is remember why Christmas is here. The only reason we have Christmas is because Jesus came from heaven. He left his Father and he came to earth, and he came to live a perfect life and to die for our sins. He came, he was born as a saviour. and children and adults, you know, there is a naughty list. We need to deal with it. We can't make it right ourselves. We can't counterbalance it by saying, okay, we'll do lots of good, because however much good you do, we'd never put right all the bad you've done. And there would still be a memory of it. But God has said, I've sent Jesus to you, and he will wipe away all your sins, and it will be wiped away, and I will forget it. But you can't do it yourself. And there is a list. I want to just read just show you a verse now, that, or two or three verses, that Martin's going to put up. And it says in 1 John 1, 8-10, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. Well, that's what Tesco's are really were trying to say. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And that means all of the things we've ever done wrong. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Jesus out to be a liar and his word is not in us. Well, isn't that really and truthfully what we need to remember, children? That only by coming to Jesus can you get all of the things that would be on your naughty list eradicated. Because if Jesus doesn't, if God looks at you and he sees Jesus, and Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice, and just at this Christmas time, let's just remember why Jesus did come. He came to get you off the naughty list. We're going to sing a children's hymn, and that is There's No One Like Jesus. This is from the Holiday Club.
I search here and there, I turn around here.
I'm now going to try and find Adriana, there she is, and Lily, and I do a Bible reading that Josh has set. It's in Matthew 7, but they'll give you the verses.
Right. The reading is Matthew 7, 13 to 28. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who chose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. Be aware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions.
Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's law. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. So though the rain comes in torrents, and the flood waters rise, and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rain and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. When Jesus had finished saying these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching.
Amen.
Thank you very much. Well read. The hymn, we're now going to see it played. It's My Lighthouse.
In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence, you won't let go. Questions your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. To show.
But hello, everybody. I'm sorry that we can't meet together in person for obvious reasons. And before we start, I really want to say a big thank you to Peter for leading us this morning. I actually tried to pre-record this message, as already said, but we had a bit of a nightmare, Martin and I, trying to get the file off my device. It was a bit too large. So the reason I was meant to pre-record it, and the reason Peter is leading this morning, is because I don't know about you, but during the first lockdown, I had a bit of a running battle with Zoom that I seemed to lose pretty much every single time I logged on. I think it's the Wi-Fi connection on the Suffolk Essex border, but every time I would log on for maybe a meeting with work or a Bible study with some American friends, it would cut out like every 5 minutes. So it got to the stage where I basically just gave up using it. So I was a bit nervous about sort of speaking live this morning, but having said that, it's actually working really well so far. So thank you to Peter, and because it's working so well, I sort of feel that I'm not pulling my weight here, so I'm sorry. It's much appreciated that you're willing to anchor for it. Thank you also to those who read God's word. It's my understanding that it was read in Matthew chapter 7, and what I really want to do this morning is just focus for about 15-20 minutes on the parable of the two builders, which are found in verse 24 to 27 in Matthew chapter 7. And of course, it follows on from Jesus's command to be obedient to the call of the gospel, and thus the fruit that flows from faith in Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been a Christian for about 13 years now. I was 18 years old when God graciously saved me. And I've never heard a sermon preached on this parable, even though for me, I remember as a youngster back at my Church of England middle school, hearing an assembly on this seemingly like once a month. I think they were trying in vain to get us to work hard and have a good foundation to our lives, if that makes sense. But as a Christian, I haven't really heard this preached on too much. And ordinarily, perhaps with it being the first Sunday after Christmas, we'd probably just wrap up the Christmas story a little bit. But I just think my purpose for choosing it today is really because of the extraordinary circumstances that we have found ourselves in, and we continue to find ourselves in as well. Now, I don't know about you, but I think this year has asked me the question, and probably all of us, what are we building our lives upon? Whether you are a believer here this morning or an unbeliever here this morning, the question that I want to ask us, and I promise myself first and foremost, is what are we building our lives upon? Christians, it's very easy to say God and the gospel and his word, and of course that is the right answer. But I wonder if we were to dig deep, what would we really find that we are building our lives upon? Now, Peter asked me some questions at the start of this service, and I was intentionally a little bit vain about what had happened this year, because it's sort of part of my message this morning. But those of you who know me will know that I have family friends in Florida, so I'm very blessed in that I get to go have a cheap holiday every year, every February, out in Florida, where it's about 25 degrees, and it's always fun leaving London at like 3 or 4 degrees and landing in Tampa in 25 degrees. It's always a lot of fun, as you can imagine. And towards the end of my trip out there this year, we were watching the news in the evening, and I could see on the news, as watching the news, the devastation that COVID-19 was having around the world, first China, and then it was sort of coming a little bit closer to home, wasn't it? I remember watching the devastation it was causing in countries like Italy and Spain and then France. And I really remember thinking to myself at the time, it will never get that bad over here. But I really remember thinking that it won't affect us in that way. We'll somehow be immune. It won't reach England. There won't be lockdown. Schools won't be shutting. And I just sort of put it to the back of my mind. And most of you know me, I like to plan. I like to have an idea of what's happening in the sort of short to medium term future. And I remember flying back from Tampa, having all the plans in the world. I was about to start a house renovation, although I have no real idea what I'm doing with that. So that was delayed, and that's probably a good thing, actually. I was also due to be nipping up to Scotland to see friends in just a few months after landing in London. And of course, as Peter's already alluded to, for me, it's my busiest time work-wise. So there's lots of excitement because of tournament trips and competitions that players have been practicing hard for. And there was also this big birthday dinner planned in like 3 weeks after landing. So there was sort of lots to look forward to. And I was flying home thinking to myself, although it's going to be a bit cold initially, I was actually looking forward to coming home. Anyway, fast forward just 1 month. And sadly, I was one of the people in the country, one of many people in the country who lost their job. I lost my main job because the private school that I worked at, it's Morton Hall Prep, sadly was forced to shut down for good because of COVID, because of the financial impact on parents' income. And they basically just pulled their children from the school because, you know, excess money is a bit of a premium in a pandemic. And sadly, the school went under, so it had to shut for good. And it was such a tough time because I watched my friends and I lose our job that we loved, but also, in a very real sense, a place that we called a second home. It was such an important place to so many of us. It was a second home and it was a second family. And on top of that, of course, you know, I wasn't the only one. Society was sort of placed into this deep lockdown. And I remember thinking after about 3 or 4 weeks, is this ever going to end? I think it was 9 weeks altogether, and it just felt so long. And I remember with much sadness tuning into the government briefing on the news at about 5 o'clock every evening, and just experiencing this grief and sadness as we heard, all of us, that at its worst, this virus was taking the lives of over 1,000 people per day at its peak in April. And it is a sadness now that we still feel, isn't it? Because only 2 days ago on Christmas Day, 570 people died because of COVID-19. So that's 570 people, 570 fathers, sons, mothers, daughters, loved ones dying on Christmas Day because of because of an illness related to this disease. And it's the question I've asked myself, and one which we all need to ask ourselves this morning as we sort of really finish up 2020. And it is that question again: what are we building our lives upon? What are we actually building our lives upon? And as we step into this parable in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus here is effectively teaching us that every single person on this planet is building their lives on something. They're building their hopes on something. They're building their eternal future on something. And it effectively boils down to one of two symbolic houses: either a house built on sand, in other words, a life built on that which isn't a sure foundation, or a house built on the rock, which of course symbolizes a life built on that which is steadfast and a strong foundation. So what I want to do just for the next 10, 15 minutes is just really just have a look at these two houses and the two foundations that Jesus speaks of. And I actually, for some reason, want to approach this backwards. I fully appreciate that Jesus first and foremost talks about the house on the rock. I can't actually tell you why, but I've prepared it. I just wanted to focus on verses 26 and 27 first, which are which is the house built on the sand. So if you have a Bible, just turn with me to verse 26 and 27. I'm having to juggle an iPad and a Bible here, so I'm sorry if this looks a bit funny. But verse 26: "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came down, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." So I just want to spend 5 minutes looking at this house built on sand. And a life built on sand, it encompasses so much, doesn't it? In short, though, it is absolutely anything and everything except for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this is really integral to what I want to say this morning. A life built on sand, or a house built on sand, to borrow Jesus's symbolic language here, is everything and everything except for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's a life built on anything apart from the gospel of Christ. Now, during the week, shortly before Christmas, I was thinking about what that may look like in my life, and maybe you can identify with these. Maybe it's